We begin the current Daf Masechta Siyuma Daf Lamed Beis. We begin 3 lines down from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the theme of the previous Mishnah. And that is, the Mishnah told us that on Yom Kippurim, the Kohen Gadol immerses himself in the mikvah 5 times, and connected with that, he has 10 Kiddushim of Yadayim Reglaim. He sanctifies his hands and his feet, once before the Tefillah, once after. So therefore, 5 times 2 is 10. He does Kiddush Yadayim Reglaim 10 times and 5 times Tefillahs. So on that, the Gemara brings a Braisa related to this. So Tanaban, we learn the Braisa. It says in the Pasuk in the Yikra, Uva Aharon El Oil Moed, that Aharon then comes to the Oil Moed, and that is, this was said after he finished doing the Keteris and the placing of the blood of the Par and the Sar. So he concluded his Avodis Penim, that was done inside the holiest areas. And the Braisa asks, Lama Hu Ba, why is Aharon coming into the Heichal? In other words, he already finished all his Avodis. And even in the Pasuk itself, it doesn't say what he's doing over there. So the question is, it's saying he's coming to the El Moed, as if he's coming inside to do his Avodis Penim, inside the Kachi Kachim. But the question is, why would he be coming if, in the context of the Pesukim, in that chronological order, he already finished everything he was doing inside? Now that the Braisa says, in the Ba'a Elohitzi Esakaf Esamachta. You're right, he finished everything. In other words, he finished doing the Avodis, which is putting the Keteris inside the Kachi Kachim, and doing the blood where it was supposed to be done inside the holiest areas. But now he's coming to remove the ladle and the pan, which he had placed originally, which is, that's when he does the Keteris. He puts it between the bottom, the staves of the Aron, the poles, as it says in the Pasuk, Nasnes a Keteris al-Ish, you should put the Keteris on the fire, and he puts it right there in the Kachi Kachim. Then he leaves. That's what the Pasuk is telling you, that now he comes back, so he's not doing any more avodis in the sense of what he has to do, but he's coming to remove that. That requires him again to come back into the oil might. Now, the Braisa comments that V'chol ha-parsha kula nemra ala seder. Now, the entire order of all the different avodis that are mentioned in the parsha over there, where it talks about the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippurim, the way it's written is the order of how it was done. Chutz mi-pasuk zeh, except for this Pasuk. And that is this pasuk, which was written, as we said, as an explanation of Uvar and Al-Moed, what's he coming to do? He says he's coming to take out the spoon of the guitarist and the pan that had the coals on it where he had placed the guitarist on to burn the incense. That was written together with the other Avodis HaPanimius, which we said, which was he had done the guitarist and that he did different bloods of the carbonus that he had to do inside. However, the Pasuk is written that it doesn't interrupt it with the Avodah of his ram and the ram of the nation in between. But the problem is, it should have written a different way. It should have first written the Yatza V'yaseh Eseilah, so that he goes out and he does his own Eila, and he does the Eila of the Yam. Then it should have written Uva Aaron, the Pasuk that we're quoting over here in the Braisa, that then Aaron comes in to go ahead and take out his ladle and his pan. And then afterwards, it should say, Ufashad is Bigdiha, but then he takes off the linen garments, which he has to use whenever he goes inside the Kachay Kachim. And then Venichim Sham, he leaves him over there, Barachatz Basar Bamayim, then he washes his flesh in water, he tivels, Balavish as Begadav, and then he puts on his garments of the Shemayin Begadav that he wears all year. And then he does the Musafin and Tamashal Bein Habayim. And that's the order how it should be written. As the Gemara will illustrate shortly, how do we know that it should be like that, that it's not the way it's written? But however, that's what the Braisa is saying. That although this pasuk is talking about right after the avodis he's doing inside, the Keteris and the Damim, and then it says that he comes into the El Moed, where is he coming from? He's inside anyway. What does it mean he's coming inside? On that we said it's to remove it. So he's saying really this is not over here where it belongs. Truthfully, there's something else that he's doing in between, which is his aisle and this aisle of the people, which was done with the Shemayin Begadim. That means he had to change himself again, go out, and then he's coming back in, changing back into his linen garments to go ahead and remove the pan and the ladle of the Keteris. However, that's not how it was written. Now, the Gemara asks, my timer. In other words, what's the reason? What's our necessity of saying this, that it's out of order? Who said that you have to interrupt the removal of the pan of the Keteris and the ladle to prove that, as the Braisa is saying, must be out of order, and that in between should be his aisle, his ram, and the ram of the people? What's the reason? How do we know that? So Amar Rav Chizda says, Gemiri, we have a tradition, it's Aloch al Moshe Mesinai, that Chomesh Tevilos V'Asar Kedushin Toivol Ka'agodom Mekadosh Babiyam. Like our Mishnah said, that he has to have 5 immersions in the mikvah, and thereby have 10 Kedushin, 10 different sanctifications, one before of the hands and the feet, and one after of the hands and the feet when he's doing the Tevilah. Now, Ve'i Kesidron, if it would be like you're asking to leave it as the Pasuk says it, that as the order has it, that when you're doing the Avodas HaPanim, which is doing the Ketores, meaning burning it, putting it on the fire and letting it go up, to create the smoke and to do the different matanas dam that's done inside, and then immediately after, still remaining in his linen garments, go in, remove the pan, and only later go ahead and do his aisle and the aisle of am, then the problem would be then ultimately, if one would calculate, you would only have 3 immersions in the mikvah and thereby only have 6 kiddushin. And because of that, we must say that it's out of order. And that is because if we kept the structure of how the pasuk goes through the chronological order, you would have 1 tefillah when you're coming to start off the day, the tamid shel shachar. You would have another one when you would switch from the tamid shel shachar and the avodas hayoyim. In other words, those which were done inside the kodesh kodashim, those with the linen garments. So you'd be switching from the big dizav that the tamid shel shachar was done to the linen garments of the avodas hayoyim, which would include, the way the pasuk is written, the removal of the pan from the kodesh kodashim. And then you would have the third tefillah would be from when you finish taking out the pan from the kodesh kodashim to doing his ram, the ram of the people. And with that would be the other avodas shebachutz, which would not be done inside the kodesh kodashim, which would be the karban musaf and the tamid shebein abayim. So therefore, all you would have would be 3 tefillahs and 6 kedushin, not 5 tefillahs and 10 kedushin. And therefore, what we have to say is that there's something that interrupts in between. And that is his ram and the ram of the people comes between the avodas hayoyim, what's done inside with the ketores and the matan dam that he throws, the achas lamala, shava lamata, and between his removal, which comes after that, of the pan and the ladle. And that he goes out in between to do his ram and the ram of the people. And then there comes the removal, and then comes the Tamid Shebein Abayim, and therefore you come out to 5. What's the 5? 5 is you start off in the morning, the Tamid Shel Shachar, the first carbon that's brought, with the golden garments. That's 1 tefillah you're doing in the morning with a Kiddush Dam Reglayim. Then, or as we explained the previous daf, there's going to be 1, and then 1 will be at the end of the day. Then you have the Avodas Hayoyim, that you're doing the specific Yom Kippur Avodah, which is done by Big D Lovin inside the Kodesh HaKodeshim. That's your 2nd tefillah. Then you have the aisle and the aisle of the Yam, which is done in the golden garments, the Shemayin Begadim on the Mizbeach, Hachitz on the outer Mizbeach. That's 3. Then you have the 4th one, when then you go back inside, so there is a transition over here, to then remove the golden garments and then have the linen garments when you're removing the ladle of the Ketores, and that's with the Big Day Lovin. And then finally, the 5th one is going to be when you go back out again for the Karban Musaf and the Tamid Shel Shachar Abayim, which is done with the Big Day Zav. And therefore, that's what the explanation of the Braisa, that it says that this Pasuk is out of order, is who said it's out of order? Why not? Finish up all the Avodas that are inside, do the Ketores, do the blood, and once you finish doing the bloods inside, go back out and take the ladle. That's what Rav Chisda is saying. No, because it has to be that the Elam has to be, and his aisle has to be in between, because that's the only way we're going to have the 5 tefillahs and the 10 kiddushin. Now the Gemara goes to the source of this halacha, that we said that there must be 5 tefillahs and 10 kiddushin. So Tanya learned the Braisa. Amri Bihudan, the Gemara is going to be mairich and lengthy about the explanation of this Braisa, continuing through Amud Beis. So Amri Bihudan, Rehuda says, he wants to know a source in the Pesukim that there's an obligation for the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippurim to have 5 immersions and 10 Kiddushin. So Tamalim, it says in the Pasuk, Uva Aaron el Oil Moed, that Aaron will come to the Oil Moed, to the sanctuary, Ufashet as Bigdi Habad, and then he'll remove his linen garments, Verachatz, and the Girsa puts in the word S, Verachatz es Besari Bamayim B'makom Kaddish, then he will wash his flesh in the holy area, Velavesh as Begadav, and then he'll put on his garments, and this is a reference to the Shemayna Begadim, which is what he wears throughout the year. Beyatzav Asa, and then he'll go out and he'll do, and that's a reference to his ram and the ram of the people. So this is after that he finished the Avodas HaPanim. It says that he comes to the El Moed once he's done, and then he removes the linen garments that he had been using inside, and then he goes, as we said, comes the aisle and aisle and then later he only comes back to the linen garments to remove the pan. So it says then he goes out and he does it. Now, so you learn from this that Shekala Meshanam Avoid L'Avoid, that whenever anyone transitions, when the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, when he transitions from one Avoidah to another Avoidah, for example, what the Pasuk here is talking about, he's going from Avoidah's Panim, which was with the linen garments, and we say he removes that, and then he's transitioning to Avoidah's Bachutz, and we see that he requires a Tvila, and the same thing as we'll see will apply if one's going from Avoidah Bachutz to Avoidah Panim, that Tarn Tvila. that requires an immersion. And the conclusion of this, as the Gemara will illustrate, that since there's five avaydas, so hence, that's how we know that there's going to be five tefillas. So that's the source that Yehuda brings, that we see that there's going to be five tefillas, and later on we'll illustrate how do we know that that comes along with 10 kedushin. But one thing we see clearly is that when one is transitioning from one type of avayda, which is in this case of this pasuk, from avaydas panim to avaydas bechutz, and we'll see similarly from avaydas bechutz to avaydas panim, requires a tefillah, and since there's five different avaydas, one to the other, that's how we know there's supposed to be five tefillas. Amar Rebbe. Rebbe says a different source. He says, "Minayin l'chamish tefilas v'asar kedushin shetevel kangol b'mkadosh b'ayam." He asks the same question. How do you know this? Shenema, like he brings a different source. It says in the pasuk in Meyikra, "K'sayinis vad kodesh yelbash," that a linen tunic that is holy he will wear, and this is a reference to kangol on Yom Kippur, where he wears the dalad begadim, that of linen, "Umechnesei vad yuah b'sari," and that a linen pants he will wear on his flesh. Uba avnit bad yachker, and that a linen belt he will girdle, he will tie himself. Umitznefes bad yitznife, and with a linen hat he'll wear on himself. Big day kaidishim, these are holy garments. Virachatz bamayim es besar ulevesham. Then he'll wash his flesh, his body in water, and then he'll put them on. So Rebbe says, Halmata, what you learn from this is shakal mashanim avoy levoida. Anyone that's transitioning from one avoida to another one. And that is because the context of this pasuk, where it's written, is when he's changing from the avodas hatamid, which is what he begins, the avodas what he starts every single day, and now he's beginning to do the avodas hayoyim, which is the inside avoda, as it says after this, it says v'loka cheshnei asirim, and this is the whole ending of the avodas yom kippurim. So this pasuk, where it's saying that when he's coming to get dressed in the linen garments after he did the tamid shel shachar, which is the first thing he does that day, which is done with his regular eight garments. That's what's done outside from the area of the Kodesh. Now he's coming inside, so it requires, as the pasuk says, that he has to be rochatz as b'mayim as besarai, and then elevation. He has to immerse himself in the mikvah. So you see, tarn tefillah. You see, when you transition from one type of garment to another, that you have to immerse yourself. Va'imran. And then there's another pasuk. In other words, there's something else that it says there in the pasuk, where it says big day kodeshim, that these are holy garments, and that is this pasuk. These three words are essentially extra. Because we obviously know from the context of the pasuk, as it says, by each one that they're kodesh. So what's it repeating? Big day kodeshim. So Gemara will later expound what is the exact drasha. But as the Brisa says, hukshu kol habagadim kulin zel zeh, it's equating all the garments one to the other, and hence, just like we require from going from the big day, the one that he has, the Shemayin Begodim, which is what he's using, Mekarben Taman, and he's transitioning to the big day Lovin. That requires a tefillah. So to any big day Kaidish, when we're transitioning from big day Lovin to the big day that Zahav that he wears during the year, which is what he would then use for the Ayla and Ayla Am, same thing would require a tefillah, and therefore that is the source for Rebbe, that he knows it requires Chamish tefillahs, and as we'll see later on, that with each tefillah comes Asar Kedushin. And so in the Braisa, we have the Braisa quoted two different sources, that of Rabbi Yehuda and that of Rebbe, that in the Psukim we find a chiv, an obligation of tefillah, when transitioning from one garment to another, and therefore, since there, as the Braisa will illustrate now, that since there are five avaydas, now therefore, as either one brought a source, when you're transitioning from one to the other, requires a tefillah, so therefore there's going to be a total of five tefillahs that day. As the Braisa tells us, Chamesh Avodas, there are five different Avodas, and this is both according to Rebbe and according to Behuda, that there is five Avodas that day, which means that they're each unique in their own type of Begid. That is Tamid Shel Shachar B'Big Dizav. When you begin the day, you have the morning carbon Tamid. That's done with the golden garments, the eight Shemayin Begum that he usually wears throughout the year. Then he transitions to Avodas Hayom, B'Big Dizav, and those which are Yom Kippur specific Avodas, those which are done inside the Kodesh area, those are done with the linen garments, the white linen garments. Then, as we explained before, he transitions before taking out the Kafa Machta, his ram and the ram of the people are done with the golden garments. And then the fourth one, Kafa Machta, when he's coming to remove the ladle and the pan, and then he goes back in again by switching back into his linen garments. And then finally, the fifth one, Tamid Shel Ben Abayim, B'Big Dizav, when he concludes the day with the evening carbon Tamid, which is the last thing brought, that's done with the golden garments. And again, according to either explanation, that of Rebbe Yehuda, since they're both learning, that transition requires tzvila, and since there's five avaydas according to everybody, therefore that we know according to both opinions that we will require five tefillas to be done during the day. Now, the Braisa says, so we prove to you, again from two different sources of transitioning from garments that requires a tefila, and since there's five avaydas, requires five tefillas, but what's with the second component? How do we know that each tefillah, each immersion, requires two kedushin, a sanctification of the hands and the feet, both before and after? Tamalayma, that's what the pasuk teaches. Ufashat verachat, it says in the context of the pasukim, it says that he will take off his clothing and then he will wash himself. And then it says verachat v'lavash, that he'll wash himself and then he will get dressed. Now, as Rashi explains, this part of the braisa is going according to Rebbe's opinion, that he learns out the obligation of the tefillos from a different pasuk, from Verachatz B'mayim, which says regarding the Bigdei Lavan, as we explained before. Therefore, this pasuk that Rabbi Yehuda had quoted, he has as extra, and therefore, what is the purpose of saying over here, Verachatz, must be it's coming to tell us a different halacha, as Igmar will explain how we know it's in reference to Kiddush Dan Reglayim, but since it's not necessary to teach us the halachas of tefillah, so therefore teaches the halachas of Kiddush Dan Reglayim, and since it says in the pasuk, ufashat, and has verachatz in between ufashat and velavash, so the term verachatz is going then both on what's before it and what's after it. One is the pshita, the taking off of the clothing before it, and that requires a rechitza. And as we're going to say, that rechitza means kiddush dam reglaim, again, because it's not talking about tevila, because he learns that the chiv tevila from a different pasuk. And it's also going on velavash, which comes after it, to say that one requires a rechitza, a kiddush dam reglaim, both on the clothing when he's taking off, and then out of the clothing that he's putting on, which is both before the tevila and after the tevila. And that's how we know that requires, each tevila requires kiddush dam reglaim. So that, again, according to Rebbe, we have the complete source of five tevilas and of 10 Kiddush Dan Reglayim. Reb Elazar ben Shimon Omer, he says a different source to how we know that there's going to be a Kiddush Dan Reglayim, two of them for each tefillah. And he says, it's a Kal Vachomer. He says, Uma b'makom she'ein toin tefillah, if the rest of the year, where one does not require a tefillah, in other words, if someone's coming to do the Avodah, min ha-Torah, biblically, he's not required to do an immersion in the mikvah before he comes to do it. It's only midrabanan, as the Gemara had explained in the previous stuff. It's just to remind himself that maybe he has some old tuma that he didn't recall, and now he's coming to do a tefillah. He's like, oh, you know, I really need a tefillah. And then he's going to realize he has to wait for Sunday, and he won't do the avodah that day. But biblically, he doesn't require a tefillah. Yet, toin kiddush. Yet, min ha-Torah, he requires a sanctification of his hands and feet when he's coming to do the avodah. As the pasuk in Shmoyis Perek Mem says, bevoyim el oil moed, when they come to the El Moed, uvekarvasim El Mezbeach, Yerchatzu, that when they're coming to do the Avodah, they have to go ahead and do a Kiddush Dan Reglayim. So if during the rest of the year where you do not need a tefillah, minat Torah, and yet you still require Kiddush, so makom shetoin tefillah, so a place where you require a tefillah, which on Yom Kippurim, as we just learned, according to all sources, that it requires for the transitioning, for the switching of garments from Lavan to Zav, or from Zav to Lavan, that requires a tefillah, Eino din shetoin kiddush, so isn't there kal vachomer that for sure you're going to require kiddush, because you see that kiddush dan reglayim is more obvious, is more necessary, as we find by the rest of the year, where that's required, even the tefillah is not. So here where you even require tefillah, for sure kiddush dan reglayim that you're going to require when you're switching from each garment. So the Gemara says, fine, but ima lahalan kiddush echad, if you're learning out from the rest of the year, so I understand that we require one sanctification when you come to transition. But Afkan Kiddush Echad, then I would say the same thing over here. So yes, it's a Kal Vachomer, but I would only know that you require one Kiddush Dan Reglayim. How do you know that you have to do two? And that time lema, that's what the pasuk teaches. Uva Aaron El Oil Moed, it says that Aaron will come to the El Moed. Ufashad is Bigdei Habara Shalavish. Then he will remove the linen garments that he clothed himself with, that he put on. Now, Matam Elam Ashalavish. What is the pasuk teaching us that which he had clothed himself in? Klum Adam Peshit Elam Ashalavish. Can someone take off clothing if he had not put it on? In other words, yes, you only take off what you put on. If we're saying he's removing his clothing, it's obviously Ashalavish. So what is Ashalavish coming to teach? Elahakish Pshit Elavish. Or rather, it's coming to equate the removal of the garments to the donning, to the putting on of the garments, and to tell you that malavishaton kiddush, just like putting on the garments requires a sanctification of the hands and feet, as we just learned out, that it's a kal vachomer from tefillah from the rest of the year, which does not require tefillah, and yet it requires kiddush dan reglayim. So here, where you require tefillah, most definitely when you're coming, when you're dressed and you're coming to do the avodah, which is what generally you're dressed and the rest of the year, and you're doing kiddush dan reglayim. So here, for sure, So Levisha requires. But af pshita toin kiddush. But what we're doing now is we're equating the other component of it, of the taking off of the clothing that also requires a kiddush adam glam, because that's what Asher Lavash is coming to teach you, to equate the upashat to the lavash, to say just like lavash, as we're learning from the Kal Vachomer, requires a kiddush adam glam, so too the removal requires a kiddush adam glam. Hence you have two kiddush adam glams, that of pshita and of levisha, for every single tefillah that you're going to do. And Rashi explains that the reason why Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon was learning out from the Kal Vachomer and he didn't learn out like the previous opinion in the Braisa, which we said is the opinion of Rebbe, that's learning it out from the Pasuk of Ufashat Verachatz, that it has that in between the two of them to say that each one requires both of the Levisha and the Pshita, is because he cannot use that Pasuk to require a Kiddush Daim Raglayim, because he actually needs that Pasuk to teach you the obligation of Tefillah itself, which is when one is coming to switch from the Big Day Lovin to the Big Day Zav, like Rabbi Yehuda. And that is, they're both L'shitasims. We had the Machlekes, Rabbi Yehuda and Rebbe. And that's what, as we explained before, that the first opinion of how we know the two Kiddush Adar Meglamis for every Tefillah was that of Rebbe, because Rabbi Yehuda cannot use Ufashat V'lavash to teach, Ufashat V'rachatz and V'rachatz V'lavash to teach you that you require two Kiddush Adar Meglamis, because he actually needs that Pasuk, as we had quoted him before, of the Chiv Tefillahs, that tells you when you transition require tefillah, and therefore that would be the same in Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon, that his opinion would be like Rabbi Yehuda, that therefore cannot learn it from there, and rather would learn it out from a Kal Vachomer. Now the Gemara quotes at length this Braisa and expounds upon it and explains each component. So the Gemara says, I'm Rabbi Yehuda. So the Braisa said, Rabbi Yehuda's opinion was, Minayin l'chamesh tefillahs v'asar kedushin sh'tevu kangolim. How do we know this? That this obligation of immersing 5 times and doing Kiddush Daim Glayim 10 times. So he quoted the Pasuk, Uva Aaron El Moed, that Aaron will come to the El Moed, and this is told him after that he finished the Avodah Pinim, that he finished with his linen garments, the Avodah inside, the Ketores, and the different Dam of the Par. Then it says, Varachat says, Pesor B'mayim B'makam Kiddush, then he'll immerse his flesh in water in a sanctified place. So Halamadda, this comes to teach you, right? He's transitioning now from his linen garments to the golden garments to do his ram and the ram of the people outside. Shekol Mashanim Avoid Lavoid Toin Tefila. That whoever's changing from one avoida to another avoida, which requires different types of garments, you require immersion in the mikvah. So that the Gemara asks, which in the sense is a blatant question on both opinions of Rebbe and Rebbe Yehuda of the beginning of their Braisa, where they have different sources learning out. Where we require a chiv tefillah between transition, and hence, since there's 5 transitions, it requires 5 different tefillahs. However, that pasuk is ashkechan mi big day love and the big day zahav. That we would only know that there's an obligation when one is switching from linen garments to gold garments, because that's the context of that pasuk. He finished avodas hapanim, which is in linen garments. Now he's going to do the avodah b'chutz, meaning out of, in other words, in the courtyard, which he's doing the ram of the people. That requires his golden garments, the shmein begadim. Maybe there we require a tefillah. However, mi big day zav, the big day love minayin. How do you know that transitioning the other way around, from the golden garments to the linen garments, that also requires a tefillah? Maybe it's only from linen to gold. So that the Gemara continues on the Beis and says that Tana de Beri Bishmal, that a Tana from the Yeshiva Rebbe Bishmal said Kal Vachomer. No, that's for sure Kal Vachomer that it would require a tefillah, because ma big dizav, if we find by the golden garments, she'in koin nichnes behem lefnei v'lefnim, where the koin gadol is not allowed to go into the innermost area of the Kaddish Kaddishim with the golden garments, yet ta'un tefillah, the pasuk, which the context of that pasuk that he had been quoting was saying that you require a tefillah when you're switching to the golden garments. In other words, where you're coming from the avodah that you did inside with the linen, you're going outside, and we say you require a tefillah. So big day lovin', so when you're transitioning to the linen garments, shenichnis b'am lefnayv lefnim, which with those garments, you can go into the innermost chambers of the Beis HaMikdash into the Kadshei Kadshim, in a din shetoin tefillah, wouldn't that preparation require an immersion in the mikvah for sure? So it's a Kal Vachomer. Another Gemara says, no, you can't say that as a Kal Vachomer, because ikla mefrach, you could refute the Kal Vachomer by saying that mala big day zav, maybe only switching to the golden garments requires a tefillah, because in a sense, it is the more chashiv and kaddish, shekein kaparasa meruba, because its atonement is much greater than the linen garments, because the Kohen Gadol, every single day of the year, serves with his golden shemayin megadim, and therefore, so much atonement is being done with those. But the avoidis, that's inside the Kachay Kachim on Yom Kippurim, only is an atonement on Tumas Mikdash or Kadasha. Different defiling types of Tumah that happens in the Beis HaMikdash or with the sanctified things, as the Gemara explains in Masechta Shavuos, or even if it's other things, but it's only one day of the year. and it's for a unique area. Whereas here, this is kaprosim rubis, so maybe it's not a kavachim, and maybe one would only require a tefillah going to the big dizav. Ella, rather, so the Gemara concludes, it's a good question on Rabbi Huda. L'chari, the pasuk is only teaching you when you're switching to big dizav, how would you know when you're switching to big dilavan? Rather, nafkaleim in the Rebbe. Rabbi Huda agrees to Rebbe, who is the other opinion, the Braisa, that learns it out from Kesainus bad kodesh shilbash, v'rochatz b'mayim ulevesham, and that is when you're switching from the carbon tamid to the big dilavan. And that is, as the Gemara will ask now, on the Rebbe's opinion, each one of their opinion was quoting a pasuk of transition. One was quoting a transition from Lavan to Zahav, which was Rabbi Huda. Rebbe quotes a different pasuk, as we're going to see now, from Zahav to Lavan. And therefore, Rabbi Huda agrees to the pasuk of Rebbe that it's even going to be a transition from the Bigdi Zahav to the Bigdi Lavan. Now the Gemara continues expounding upon the Braisa and says, Amar Rebbe, Rebbe said. Now we're going to the second opinion, how we know that there's a requirement of five tefillahs. So Tamalim, he brought the following pasuk. K'sainis bad kodesh yilbash. That linen, tunic, that's holy, he should be wearing that day. Now, halamata, this comes to teach you, because this is Toma transitioning from the Kamar Tamid, which was the golden, Shemayin Begadim, he's transitioning to linen, to the ones that he wears inside the kachah kachah. So, what does it teach you? Because the pasuk over there says that he requires a v'rochatz b'mayim, that he has to immerse himself in the water. Whoever's transitioning from one type to another type requires an immersion in the mikvah. Now, so the Gemara asks the reverse question that it asked on Rabbi Yehuda. Ashkechan mi bigdi zahav le bigdi lovin. So the pasuk that Rebbe brings, we only find that, yes, when you're transitioning from, let's say, the carbon tamid, which is what the pasuk is talking about there, from the golden garment to the linen garment, then you require a tefillah. But however, how do you know that when you're transitioning from the linen garments that are done on that day of Yom Kippurim, that, and then you're going to the golden garments, how do you know that that would require a tefillah? So that, similar as it said before, Tanda Rebbe Shmuel, so the Tana of the Yeshiva Rebbe Shmuel, he said, Kavo Chaymer. Of course that you have to do a tefillah. Because Ma Bigdi Lovin, if you find by the linen white garments, She'en Kabrasim Ruba, where there's not so much atonement being done with these types of garments. Yet Tan Tefillah, when you're transitioning to them, to put them on, it requires a Tefillah. So therefore, Bigdi Zav, She'kaparasim Ruba, so when you're transitioning to the golden garments, where the whole year there's so much atonement being done with these garments, in a Din Shaton Tefillah, so isn't it a Kavo Chaymer that there you would require a Tefillah in preparation for those garments? So now the Gemara says, no, Ikla Mifach, he could refute in the reverse. Mala Bigdi Lovin, if you find by the linen garments where there it requires a Tefillah, She'kei Nichnas Behem Lefnaiv Lefnim. When you go inside the kachah kachim, that's very holy. Maybe they require a tefillah. But who said you require a tefillah when you're transitioning to the big dizav? So that the Gemara says it right. But hainu diktani, this is what it said over there in the Braisa, in the quotation of Rebbe's opinion, that Rebbe said v'aymer, because it also says there in that pasuk, big de kodeshem, their holy sanctified garments. And it says there in the context, v'rochatz, and the gears has to be changed, b'mayim es besari, that he should wash and water his flesh, ulevesham, and he puts them on. And therefore, what are those extra words, Big Day Kodesh Haim, coming to teach? It's coming to teach the following thing, that what's contingent, what's the dependency of the reason of the immersion in the mikvah, is because, and the Pasuk is coming to teach you this lesson, because they're Big Day Kodesh, which that teaches you that any transition, any switching of holy garments that day requires a tefillah. Now, Big Day Zav are Big Day Kodesh, and therefore that would be the source. In this pasuk alone would teach you not only a requirement of from Big Day Zav, from the Karban Tamid, to the Big Day Lavan, which is what the context of the pasuk is teaching, but the extra words Big Day Kodesh teaches that any Big Day Kodesh, which would mean even switching from the Big Day Lavan to the Big Day Zav, would require a tefillah. And essentially, this is where everyone learns out. Even Rabbi Huda, because his source was only telling you half of it, and from this pasuk teaches both Bigdi Zahav and Bigdi Lavan requires a tefillah. And again, as we said before, as the Gemara is going to quote now from that part of the Braisa, since we're five avodas and you're transitioning, so therefore it requires five tefillahs that day. As the Gemara quotes, the Braisa said, V'chamesh avodas hein. There were five different services that were done that day, and they were transitioning, as we explained at the beginning of the daf, that although in the context, if one reads the chronological order of the psukim, it sounds like that there were only three different transitions, but we said there has to be five because of that Messira that we have, that there's five, and therefore it's out of order in the sense that the Eil, his ram, and the Eil Ha'am comes in between the Avodas Panim and the removal of the pen, which then he has to go back and switch back to the linen garments. So the Braisa said there's five avodas. There's tamid shel shachar b'bigdei zahav. There's the carbon tamid in the morning, which first thing he does, that's with the golden garments. Then avodas seyoyim bebigdilav, and there is the those which is Yom Kippur specific avodas inside the kachet kachim, which is done with the linen garments. Then this eila ve'eila am bebigdizav, his is ram and the ram of the people, which are done with the golden garments. Then this kafa machad bebigdilav, where he goes back in and transitions back into the linen garments to remove the ladle and the pan of the coals where the keteris was on with the linen garments. And then tamat shel bein abayim, bring this up. And then there's the carbon tamat that comes at the end of the day, by the evening, which that's done with the golden garments. Now the Braisa continued, it said, u'minayin shekol tefilu tefilu tzricha beit kedushin. So that's the first half of this halacha. Five tefilas we know. Now how do we know that there's going to be 10 kedushin? That would mean that every tefila has 2 kedushin on that day. Tamalayma, so the first opinion quoted in the Braisa was, as we said, that that's the opinion of Rebbe, that because he doesn't require this pasuk for tefila, which Rebbe Huda and the other opinion of that of the Braisa do require it for tefila, but he doesn't, because he learns that tefila from a different pasuk. Tamalayma ufashat varachat varachat v'lavash. Now we said that it talks about taking off the clothing, and then varachats, and afterwards putting on the clothing, so we have varachats that's in between to say that the sanctification of heads and feet is both on the taking off the clothing and putting it on, which that's both done when one immerses in the mikvah. Therefore we have 2 kiddushadayim reglayim, one before and one after. But that the Gemara asks, but hi, this pasuk, when it's talking about varachats, betfilaksiv, is in reference to immersion in the mikvah, because the pasuk says, besarai. It's not talk, it's talking about his whole body. It's talking about that he has to wash it, which is a reference to immersion in the mikvah, and not just his hands and feet. So how could we say that this is the source of, yes, by before when you're taking off the clothing, and after when you're putting on the clothing, that each one requires its own kiddush dam reglaim, which means that you're going to have 2 every tefillah. But this pasuk is talking about immersing in the mikvah, not of kiddush dam reglaim. So how could this be that source? So that the Gemara answers, im'ena in l'tefillah, if this pasuk is not necessary for immersing in the mikvah, dinafkele, as we said, this is going according to the opinion of Rabbi, mibigde kodeshem, the pasuk that we quoted before, where essentially really everyone ends up learning from this pasuk, that bigde kodeshem, that it says that any sanctified clothing when you're transferring from one to another requires a tefillah, so therefore, what would I need this barachatz to say between the pshita and the levisha? I don't need it to tell you tefillah because there's a different pasuk coming to teach you. Therefore, the Braisa tells us, Taneu in the Kiddush, that Rebbe's telling you what it must be teaching is, as one of the klalim in the Torah is, that it's called Im'einu L'inyan. If it's not necessary for this, then we use it for a different applicable area of halacha, and that it's teaching us regarding Kiddush Dam Reglayim, that is required for the Peshitta and for the Levisha. Then the Gemara asks, we know that there's such halacha. However, V'lichta V'rachmanu B'loshin Kiddush, but why did the Torah do it that way? And say that, write an extra pasuk by tefillah, and say, well, it's not necessary for tefillah. Okay, so you know what? We'll use a kiddush dam reglaim, which is a similar area of halacha. But why don't just write it in the context of kiddush dam reglaim, and not v'rachatz besarei, that he's going to immerse his whole body in the mikvah? So that the Gemara says, no, hakamash malan. The reason why it was written in such a way, that in a terminology of tefillah, is because we actually did it on purpose. Because we want to learn tefillah from Kiddush Dam Reglayim. That is the Tefillah Kiddush, then on some way, the immersing that the Kohen Gadol does that day, the 5 times, is like the Kiddush Dam Reglayim that he does the 10 times. How so? Ma Kiddush B'Makom Kodesh, just like the sanctifications of his hands and his feet. When he washes it, it's in the sanctified area, as the Pasuk says, B'Makom Kodesh, it has to be in the holy area. Av Tefillah, so too it teaches regarding his immersions in the mikvah that come because of the Avodas Hayom that he's transitioning from one beggar to another, are also B'Makom Kodesh, are also in the sanctified area. However, that's in contrast to the first Tefillah that he does that day, which we do not learn from there, because since that's not biblical and it's also not specific for the Avodas Hayom, therefore that didn't have to be B'Makom Kodesh, actually that was done in the Makom Chel. However, that's the reason why it was used in the context and the terminology of tefillah, because although it's actually im'eina inyan, it's actually referring to kiddush dam reglayim, and that's how we see that there's a requirement for 2, one of the pshita and one of the levisha, but we use the term of tefillah to say to learn tefillah from kiddush dam reglayim, just like kiddush dam reglayim has to be in the sanctified area of the Beis HaMikdash, so to tefillah that he did that day with those remaining 4 had to be done in the sanctified area of the Beis HaMikdash. But now the Gemara asks, but Rabbi Yehuda, who, as we mentioned before, he needs this pasuk of Verachatz to teach. He can't use it for the area of Kiddush Dam Reglayim, because as was quoted in the Braisa, he uses that for the requirement to immerse in the mikvah when one is transitioning from linen garments to golden garments, and that's because he doesn't darshan this term of bigdei kodeshim. So therefore, he needs Rebbe to learn transitioning from the other half, which his pasuk doesn't reveal, but he doesn't use it from bigdei kodeshim as he's quoted in the Braisa. So essentially, the actual pasuk of Verachatz is still necessary for his half, which is learning out transitioning from linen garments to the golden garments, and he only learns from Rebbe from golden to linen, and that's how he complements his half, as the Gemara asks, well, that's only half, how does he know the other half? So that he learned from Rebbe, but again, the term bigdei kodeshim is not used to teach you all the halachas of Tfilah. And therefore, he still requires his Verachatz to teach, which is the pasuk that is being quoted over here, to tell you the halacha of the Kiddush Dei Megillah, he cannot use that. And therefore, Rebbe Yehuda, Kiddush Menale, where does he know that you require a sanctification of hands and feet, one before and one after? Again, because he can't learn it from where Rebbe's learning it, which is the first opinion quoted in the Braisa. That the Gemara says that Rebbe Yehuda is nafkale medrelezer Rebbe Shimon. That Rebbe Yehuda learns it out from the second opinion mentioned in the Braisa, which was that he said that it's a kavuchaymer, that if the whole entire year that we you don't require a tefillah, yet you require Kiddush Dei Megillah. So in Kippurim, when you're going to do this next transition, you require a tefillah, most definitely require Kiddush Dei Megillah. And then we said, oh, that would only tell you one. How do you know two? And that's because it says Ashalavesh to say, equating the Levisha to the Peshitta, which it says in the Pasuk to say, just like Levisha requires a Kiddush Dei Megillah, so to Peshitta requires a Kiddush Dei Megillah. And again, that's the Lishitasim, the parallel that we find, that Rebbe's, according to his opinion, both in regards to the source of the Chumash Tefillahs and therefore to the Kiddush Dei Megillah. Rebbe Yehuda is the same like Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon, also according to their opinion, that he doesn't learn and therefore he has to learn it out from a Kal Vachomer. Now the Gemara continues. Now that it has concluded essentially explaining the understanding and the sources of the Braisa, now the Gemara continues elucidating the Braisa. Amar Rav Chisda. So Rav Chisda says as follows. Now, Rav Chisda assumed that Rebbe was specific when he said that the source for the Kiddush Dei Megillah, that one's before the tefillah, one's after, from the term that it says in the Pasuk, Ufashat, then it says Verachatz, and Verachatz Belavash, to teach you that those two sanctifications have to be between, as it says in the Pasuk, the term rachatz is between the term of pashat, meaning after he takes off his clothing, and before he does levisha, when he puts on his clothing, which means to say that one before the tefillah and one afterwards, they're both not clothed, because it says ufashat, first take off your clothing, then verachatz, which in this context, the way the Rebbe is interpreting, it's going on Kiddush Dei Megillah. And then only later it says v'lavash, you're having a second rechitza beforehand, which is requiring two Kiddush Dei Megillah, but when he's unclothed by both of them. So therefore, Rav Chisda says that Hadar Rebbe, so this source of Rebbe of requiring Kiddush Dei Megillah from this pasuk is mafkim remeir, comes to exclude, and that means he's not like the pin remeir. Umafkim rabban, it also excludes from the pin of the rabbanim as follows, as these two opinions were quoted on the previous daf. Mafkim rabbanim, he's excluding from the pin of the rabbanim. The Ilu Rabbanan Amri, because whereas the Rabbanan said in their halacha, they said kishu lavish mikadosh. They said that the sanctifications of the hand and feet are always done when the kohen gadol is clothed, both before he takes off his clothing, and both when the second one after he's dressed. Only then does he do kiddush Dei Megillah. Now ve'iu Amar Rebbe says clearly the exact opposite. Kishu peishin mikadosh. He only does the kiddush Dei Megillah when he has his clothing off, because that's his source. You have verachatz in between when your clothing is off. That one after you took it off, and then you immerse yourself, and then after the immersion, before you do v'lavash, then you do another Kiddush Dei Megillah. And that's exactly the opposite of the Rabbanan. And also Mafkim Reb Meir, he's also excluding from the opinion of Reb Meir, because the Ilu Reb Meir Amar, because whereas Reb Meir said, and that is, although later on on a coming Mishnah, Reb Meir tells us that he first takes off his clothing, and then he does do the sanctification of his hands and feet, that is, he does agree on that level that the Kiddush before the immersion in the mikvah is done after the clothing is off. However, he would still be arguing with Reb Meir on another area regarding the second sanctification. In other words, after he does the tefillah. Because Reb Meir tells us that Hach Kiddush Basra, that the second sanctification of every tefillah, at least that one, Ikeshu Lavish Mekadosh. That one, even Reb Meir agrees to the Rabban, that one has to be only after he's clothed, as the Braisa quotes Reb Meir, that Lavash, Kiddush Yad Raglav, as we brought this Braisa previously, that even he agrees that yes, although the first Kiddush Dei Megillah, the one before the tefillah, is done when he's already with his clothing off, however, the second one is only Lavash when he gets dressed, and then Kiddush Yad Raglav. And therefore, be'iu. But whereas Rebbe, Omar, k'shu poshut mikadosh, he said no. That not only the one, that on that, he's like Reb Meir, that the first one, before the tefillah, that first you do a pashad, you take off your clothing, and then you do kiddush demaglaim, and then you immerse. But the second one too, after immersion, then you do kiddush demaglaim, and only then you get dressed. Because that's how Rav Chis is learning in Rebbe, because that's the source. It says ufashad, v'rachatz, v'rachatz, and then v'lovesh. So you see, there has to be in between. Both of them are when one is not clothed. Whereas Reb Meir at least holds the second one has to be clothed. However, Amar Rav Achabar Yaakov argues with Rav Chis. He says, Hakol Moedin, everybody agrees, even Rebbe, that Bekidur Sheni, the second sanctification, in other words, the one that's closer to the Avodah that you're going to do now, is when you're already clothed that you do the Kiddush Demaglaim. Shaloi v'shva'achar kach makadosh. No, first you have to get dressed, and then you do sanctification. My time, what's the reason? Why would he say that Rebbe agrees if Rav Chisda seems to be correct in the sense of that's the source of Rebbe, because it says ufashat v'rachat v'rachat then malavash, only then malavash. And that he says no, because it cannot be. And that is, although it would sound like from the pasuk, he would have to agree that first you get dressed, and then you do Kiddush Demaglaim. Because the Amakra, because the pasuk says in Shemais, which the beginning of that pasuk says in Perek Lamed, pasuk Chaf, it says Bevayim el Oel Moed, when they come to the Oel Moed, Yerchatzumayim, they should wash themselves with water, Beloyimus, and they shouldn't die. And the pasuk continues Oyvegishnim el Mizbeach, or when they're coming near to the Mizbeach to do that Voidin. Now, the understanding of this is Misha Eina Mechusa Elegisha, someone that's only lacking coming near. That type of person is the one that does Kiddush Demaglaim from the Kir. That would exclude such a person, Shemachus Levisha Vegisha. Not only would he be lacking coming near to do that Avodah, but he'd actually be lacking another step in between, which would be getting dressed. And therefore, it must be that, as the Pasuk tells us, who's the one that does Kiddush Demaglaim? Only the one that's lacking coming near. And therefore, you do the Kir, and then you come near. But if you're lacking also clothing, that would be another step missing, and that wouldn't be appropriate yet for the Kiddush Demaglaim. That's how he tells us that even Rebbe would agree that the second one, and therefore he could be like Reb Meir, that although that he would agree with him on the first one, that you're unclothed, but the second one first has to be clothed, because you only have to be lacking Gisha, and not Levisha and Gisha. Now, based on this machlokes of Rav Chisda and Rav Acha ben Yaakov, Amli Rav Acha bereid de Rabbah de Rav Ashi. So he says, what comes out is that loy Rav Chisda, that Rav Chisda, who he said that in the opinion of Rebbe, that you have to have both Kiddush Demaglaim between when one has already taken off his first garments and before he has put on his second garments, he can't hold Islay de Rav Acha. He can't hold over the opinion of Rav Acha, who he said that the Kiddush Demaglaim has to be after you already put on your second pair of clothing that you're going to do that void with now. And the same thing in reverse. V'loy Rav Acha, Rav Acha, who he requires the Kiddush to be closer to the Avodah as you're going to do it, he can't hold of Islay Rav Chisda. He can't agree with Rav Chisda, who requires that the two Kiddushim have to be when he's naked. Dim Kain, because if they agree to each other's opinion, then L'Rebbe Havale would come out that according to Rebbe, that you would require three Kiddush Yedayim Reglayims for every Tefillah, because you would have to have two when you're unclothed, and you would have to have one when you're already clothed, when you're already dressed. And then it would come out, Chamesa Kiddushin. It would come out, according to Rebbe, that you have 15 Kiddush Demaglaims. And the Halacha Moshe Messina was that there's 5 Tefillahs and a Sar Kiddushin, and therefore they must not agree. And that is, in a sense, the Gemara was entertaining that maybe they agree to each other. Yes, the Pasuk, which is the source of Rebbe, requires that you have to have them between the Pshita and the Levisha. But then there's another Pasuk that also says that once you're dressed is only when you're appropriate. So maybe it would be both. Now the Gemara says it can't be both. They can't hold each other's opinion because the Halacha Moshe Messina tells us only 10 Kiddushin and not 15. Now the Gemara has concluded the explanation of this price, so the Gemara returns to the Mishnah. So the Gemara quotes from the Mishnah that says, Hivilu Esar Tamid, so they would bring the carbon Tamid to the Kohen Gadol. Keratzai B'chulu, he would do Kritza to the carbon Tamid, and he would move on. So the Gemara says, my Keratzai, what does it mean that he would be Kairitz to the carbon Tamid Shal Shachar? So Amar Ula says, Lishn D'Katalahu, it's a term of killing, and that what that means basically is that he would slaughter the carbon Tamid, he would do that part of the Avodah. Some Rav Nachum Yitzchak says, micro, what's the pasuk that would show us that this term karatzai is a term of killing? So the Gemara quotes a pasuk in Yirmiyah that says, Egla yefeifia mitzrayim, that Egypt is a beautiful calf. However, keretz mitzafin bava. However, a keretz, which is in the context of that pasuk is a reference to bavel, it will surely be coming from the north. Now, the Gemara asks, my mashma, where do we see from the context of that pasuk that carrots is a term of killing. So now the Gemara says, "Can the Metargim Rav Yosef, like Rav Yosef, had interpreted into the Aramaic that Malku Yoihav Mitzrayim, that Egypt is a beautiful kingdom. However, Amamen Ketoilin Mitzipuna Yeshnallah. However, a murderous nation from the north, again a reference to Bavel, will be coming upon it, and therefore you see that the term Keratza is a term of killing, and that's the term that's being used over here, that he would slaughter the animal." Now, that the Gemara clarifies Keratza Bekama. How much would he be slaughtering of the animal for it to be considered that he did the Shechita, so then he could quickly move on to do the Kabbalah? As we said, he has to do as little as possible so that he could quickly receive the blood, because all the avodas of that day has to be done by him. So he has to do the impossible in the sense of slaughter and catch the blood. So therefore, how much does he have to do? Tama Ula Ula says, B'roiv Shnayim, he has to do the minimum amount, which would be the kashrus for a proper slaughtering, which would be the majority of both the windpipe and the food pipe. If he does those two, the majority of them, he has already fulfilled his chiv, and then he could go quickly catch the blood. The Gemara says, V'chinam Rabbi Yechinam, B'roiv Shnayim, with the majority of both the pipes. V'afresh Lakesh Sava, and also Rish Lakish holds Berev Shnayim, that it's enough with the majority of the two. As the Gemara brings the following proof, how do we know Rish Lakish agrees to this? The Amr Rish Lakish, because Rish Lakish said in a different context, he said, not once we learned, in regarding to the Shechita of Chulin, of unconsecrated regular animals, we learned the following halacha, that Rubishal Echad Kamayhu, the majority of one pipe is like it, in other words, like you slaughtered the whole pipe. So therefore, Rish Lakish asked, he said, Lama Shaninu, then why did we learn? In other words, right after that halacha, where we spoke about when slaughtering one pipe is like you did, the majority is like the whole thing. Right after, it's taught the halacha, that Rav Echad B'Aif V'Rav Shnayim B'Behema, that it's enough to do a majority of one simon, of one pipe by a bird, and a majority of two by an animal. But Rish Lakish's question was, of course, by default, you know that. If a majority is considered kekule, rubis kekule, so then the majority of one is like one, so the majority of two is like two. Why did it have to repeat the halacha in the context of roiv shnayim bebehema? So that Rish Lakish answered based on our Mishnah. So he said, lefisha sheninu, since we learned in our Mishnah Masechtas Yuma, hiviu lo yasa tamid, we said that they bring to the Kohen Gadol the Karban Tamid, and he said, keratza, so he slaughters it. Umerik achar shchita yod, and then someone else quickly jumps in and finishes up the shchita for him, and the kibul esadam v'zaraka, and then the kohen gadol goes and receives the blood, and then he takes from that blood that he received and he throws it and he does the avodah of the zrika. Now on that, Rish Lakish says, yachaloi merik yehipasa. You would think to say that if someone else would not finish up the avodah for him, to finish up the slaughtering, then it would be invalid. And that's what he's coming to explain, why it was necessary for the Mishnah to continue saying not only is Roiv considered Kekulai, but it had to say in the context of Roiv Shnayim Behema, which the Gemara first interrupts and asks, Yochol Loi Meriki Hipasol? You would think, how can you even entertain such a thing? They're asking on Rish Lakish's Chiddush of that Mishnah, that if someone didn't finish up the slaughtering, it would be invalid. But M. Cain, that would come out, if we would even entertain such a theory, that someone else is integral for his completing of the slaughtering, imkein havile avoida b'achar, comes out that a part of the avoida, because that means it's integral for the avoida, is being done by someone else, not the Kohen Gadol, because you're saying if he doesn't finish it up, it will invalidate the shechita, the slaughtering. But B'tanya will learn the braisa, kol avoidas Yom Kippurim in kasheres elaboy, that every last avoida on Yom Kippurim is only valid to be done with the Kohen Gadol. So how could you even entertain to say that, wait a second, there's an extra halacha said in regarding the halachas of shechita, which we're talking about general shechita. Regular animals, if one slaughters in the butcher house, we say that a majority is like the whole thing. So Rish Lakish's question is, why right after that does it say, oh, and also, the majority of an animal of two will be like two? Well, of course, if majority is like the whole thing, so then why do you have to repeat it? So he's coming to answer, because, oh, we would have thought, related to our mission over here, where we say that someone else has to complete it, that, oh, even though the Kohen Gadol is doing the majority of two, but we would think that regarding Kachim, as the Gemara is going to conclude and explain this, that regarding that Kachim, if you don't do the whole thing, that won't be valid. Only maybe by Chulin the majority would be like the whole thing, but not by Kachim. And therefore, that's why I have to say another halacha to say that in context of Kachim. One was for Chulin, one was for Kachim, so it's not extra. But on that, the Gemara asks, how can you say that? How can you entertain to say that we would think that his majority wasn't good enough, and for the shechita to be kosher, you had to do the whole simen, And that's what the other one is concluding. But that means he's doing an integral part of the Shechita. He's doing part of the Avoda. No one else can do the Avoda on Yom Kippur besides the Kohen Gadol. So what's this? How is Rish Lakish entertaining this thing to say that that's why we're saying another case to explain for Kachim? So now the Gemara clarifies, says, no, what Rish Lakish was saying was, Yachol Yehi Pasa Midrabbanan. You would think to say that, yes, of course, Minat Torah, it's going to be considered good Shechita because it has to be done only through him and he's only doing a majority. But you would think, at least rabbinically, since the whole intention of the slaughtering is for the purpose to get the blood out of it, now therefore, since you're not getting so much because you're not slaughtering the whole thing, that rabbinically that would be considered invalid. And this that we said, that when you're doing the majority, it's like the whole thing, that would only be by chulin, and that by kodshim, at least rabbinically, if you did only the majority, it would be pasul. That's what Rish Lakish continues, and we continue on top of Lamed Gimel Lamed Aleph, Lekach Sheninu. Now that's why there was an extra Mishnah, which was what his question was, why did it say, Reiv Echad Ba'if, Vereishnayim Be'behema? That's why it says what seems to be extra, because we already said Rubik Akulay. Why are we repeating, so to speak, by the majority of one by the bird and majority of two by an animal will be considered Kekulay? To tell you one case by Chulin, by unconsecrated regular animals, and one by Kachim, to tell you that even by Kachim will say Rubik Akulay. The Raya of the Gemara is that from the fact that Shimon Malakish used that Mishnah to explain our Seder of Masechtas Yuma regarding the Avoda on Yom Kippur by the Kohen Gadol, that is obviously he's saying that the Karatzai of the Kohen Gadol is with Reiv Shnayim, because that's exactly how he's using in the context of that Mishnah over there, which is teaching you that even the majority of two, which is Reiv Shnayim Be'behema, he's saying is a reference to Kachim of the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippurim, where his Karatzai of majority of two was enough, even rabbinically, and therefore you see again that Rish Lakish is like all the other opinions, that Karatzai was enough with just a majority of two of the Siman. Now the Gemara concludes this discussion by asking now, now based on what you just said, that even rabbinically there's no invalidations by not doing more than the majority of two Simanim, because we're saying that even rabbinically we're saying, of course, Minat Torah, we would have known it's enough because no one else could do part of it, and we're saying that he's only doing majority, but we're saying that the Chiddush is even rabbinically it's not going to be a problem. So then, Lomali Lamarik, then why do I actually need to pass on the animal to a Kohen Hedya, someone else, to go conclude and finish up the rest of cutting of the pipes, and the Kohen Gadol in the meantime is catching the blood? No one has to finish it up because even rabbinically there's no obligation. So the Gemara says, Mitzvah Lamarik, you're right, but there's a positive area over here, a mitzvah, to go ahead and conclude, and the reason is because so that you could really get as much blood out of it, which was what we had entertained, that maybe it would be Pasul Midrabbanan, and that we're saying that's not. Even rabbinically it's not, but however, there would still be a mitzvah, and that's why we have someone else concluding it. However, not only Minat Torah, but even rabbinically, there's no problem with the Shechita of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippurim, that his Karatzah is with Reiv Shnayim, with just doing a majority of the two pipes.